Welcome to the Next Steps Bible Reading Podcast. We are in the book of 2 Corinthians. So you can find that in chapter 6. We will be reading 2 Corinthians chapter 6 through 8. I will pray. I will read through this. I encourage you to follow along as I read, to be listening carefully. I will be giving some devotional thoughts, some thoughts of application, mainly for myself. They might be some of the same for you, but I encourage you to be thinking about this passage, thinking about how to apply it, and pray along with me. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that we have living inside of us to help us to understand your word and what it's saying to us today. And I pray that you would change my life because of it. In Jesus' name, amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. As God's co-workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain, for he says, "In the time of my favor I heard you, and in the day of salvation I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor, now is the day of salvation. We put no stumbling block in anyone's path so that our ministry will not be discredited. Rather, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, in great endurance, in troubles, hardships, and distresses, in beatings, imprisonments, and riots, in hard work, sleepless nights, and hunger, in purity, understanding, patience, and kindness, in the Holy Spirit and in sincere love, in truthful speech and in the power of God, with weapons of righteousness in the right hand and in the left, through glory and dishonor, bad report and good report, genuine yet regarded as impostors, known yet regarded as unknown, dying and yet we live on, beaten and yet not killed, sorrowful yet always rejoicing, poor yet making many rich, having nothing and yet possessing everything." Wow, so that's a beginning of Paul talking about some of the hardships that he and his ministry team have gone through. And he's not being proud. He's talking about how difficult the ministry has been. Verse 11, "We have spoken freely to you, Corinthians, and opened wide our hearts to you. We're not withholding our affection from you, but you are withholding yours from us. As a fair exchange, I speak as to my children. Open wide your hearts also. Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? For what fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and Belial? Or what does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." So, the Apostle Paul, he's writing to a group of struggling believers, the Corinthian church. Lots of issues in the church. And one of the things, apparently, is that they were yoking themselves. They were partnering in different ways with unbelievers. And although Paul certainly encouraged people to know unbelievers, to have relationships with unbelievers for the purpose of sharing the gospel, apparently there were some relationships where they were really together. Maybe it was marriage, maybe it was business, maybe it was other things. And it obviously affected the way that they thought, the way that they lived, their affections for God. And so he's telling them, you need to come out from among them. You need to be separate, holy to God. Chapter 7. "Therefore, since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. Make room for us in your hearts. We have wronged no one. We have corrupted no one. We have exploited no one. I do not say this to condemn you. I've said this before, that you have such a place in our hearts that we would live or die with you. I've spoken to you with great frankness. I take great pride in you. I'm greatly encouraged. In all our troubles, my joy knows no bounds. For when we came into Macedonia, we had no rest, but we were harassed at every turn. Conflicts on the outside, fears within. But God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus, and not only by his coming, but also by the comfort you had given him. He told us about your longing for me, your deep sorrow, your ardent concern for me, so that my joy was greater than ever. Even if I caused you sorrow by my letter, I do not regret it." Now, he might be referring to letter in 1 Corinthians. There also seems to be a lost letter that he sent them. But obviously there was a good relationship there. He's thanking them for the way that they ministered to Titus that was going to be a part of his ministry team. And their concern for him. Okay, let's continue here. Verse 9. Yet now I am happy. Let me come back to verse 8. Even if I caused you sorrow by my letter, I do not regret it, though I did regret it. I see that my letter hurt you, but only for a little while. Yet now I am happy, not because you were made sorry, but because your sorrow led to repentance. For you became sorrowful as God intended, and so were not harmed in any way by us. Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret, but worldly sorrow brings death. See that this godly sorrow has produced in you what earnestness, what eagerness to clear yourselves, what indignation, what alarm, what longing, what concern, what readiness to see justice done. At every point, you have proved yourselves to be innocent in this matter. So even though I wrote to you, it was neither on account of the one who did the wrong nor on account of the injured party, but rather that before God, you could see for yourselves how devoted to us you are. By all this, we are encouraged. In addition to our own encouragement, we were especially delighted to see how happy Titus was because his spirit had been refreshed by all of you. I had boasted to him about you, and you have not embarrassed me. But just as everything we said to you was true, so our boasting about you to Titus has proved to be true as well. After his affection for you is all the greater when he remembers that you were all obedient, receiving him with fear and trembling, I am glad I have complete confidence in you. So here's some good things, I guess, in these couple of chapters. That he's trying to encourage them, that they had responded well, especially after they repented of something that they were struggling with, and in how they treated, again, himself, how they treated Titus. Chapter 8. And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches in the midst of a very severe trial. Their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people. And they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves first of all to the Lord, and then by the will of God, able also to us. So we urged Titus, just as he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. But since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. I'm not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. And here is my judgment about what is best for you in this matter. Last year you were the first not only to give, but also to have the desire to do so. Now finish the work, so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it according to your means. For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. Our desire is not that others might be relieved while you are hard-pressed, but that there might be equality. At the present time, your plenty will supply what they need, so that in turn their plenty will supply what you need. The goal is equality. As it is written, the one who gathered much did not have too much, and the one who gathered little did not have too little. Thanks be to God, who put into the heart of Titus the same concern I have for you. For Titus not only welcomed our appeal, but he is coming to you with much enthusiasm and on his own initiative. And we are sending along with him the brother, who was praised by all the churches for his service to the gospel. What is more, he was chosen by the churches to accompany us as we carry the offering, which we administer in order to honor the Lord himself and to show our eagerness to help. We want to avoid any criticism of the way we administer this liberal gift, for we are taking pains to do what is right, not only in the eyes of the Lord, but also in the eyes of man. In addition, we are sending with them our brother, who has often proved to us in many ways that he is zealous, and now even more so, because of his great confidence in you. As for Titus, he is my partner and co-worker among you. As for our brothers, they are representatives of the churches and an honor to Christ. Therefore, show these men the proof of your love and the reason for our pride in you, so that the churches can see it. So one of the things that was happening in that day, for example, if Paul was writing a letter, he would send it by the hands of Titus, other co-workers. There would be representatives, you know, going back and forth with churches, strengthening the churches, representing Paul as Paul would travel from place to place. But there were relationships that were there, and there was information being sent back and forth and opportunities to know how the particular church is doing. So what do I take away from 2 Corinthians chapter 6 through 8? Well, I think as a pastor, I certainly relate often to what Paul talks about in ministry. The ministry is difficult, and that it is my desire to serve, not looking for gain in this world, but looking for gain eternally. In other words, spiritual gain in God's people, knowing that there are lots of difficulties that you face in ministry, because I've got my own sinfulness to deal with, right? And then I've got the sinfulness of people, just regular people, and the battles and the internal battles that brings, as Paul talks about that. But he also is encouraging, you know, the Corinthian church was a mess, and yet he found some things to encourage them with. And so that's helpful to me to remember wherever a church is, wherever a particular person is in their spiritual growth, even if they've really struggled, to encourage confession, to encourage repentance, and to encourage them in the good things that God is doing among them. And I want to apply that. There's lots of other things here about giving and some other things that perhaps God is speaking to your heart on, and I would encourage you to pray about those. Father, thank you for your word this morning. Lord, I just want to personally thank you for the Apostle Paul and the example that he is to me in ministry. Knowing Paul was not perfect, didn't always come across well to other people. And yet, Father, he is really trying to look at this particular group of people and help them grow in their faith, to encourage them to repent where repentance is needed, to encourage them in the good that he sees them doing, to lift up other workers, his co-workers in ministry to them, that they would listen to them and follow their lead. So, Lord, I want to continue to do that. I want to be humble before you and be fearless in promoting your truth to your people, no matter what the circumstances. And I need your help. In Jesus' name, amen.